Hobbs, listening to your latest random screed, Jay, from the Vanishing Tower Press, Vanishing Tower blog. And of course, I gotta ask you what you were getting out of the Traveler game. In the few times that we ran it, we never got a chance to go very deep. But tell me what it is. And not that I'm ignorant of what I do and what I'm trying to accomplish when I sit down at the table to run a game. I just like hearing active gamers like yourself, your opinion. It helps me understand whether I'm exactly delivering what I'm trying to do and if I'm helping players lift up their game. Peace, brother.
As previously reported, Jay Murphy from Vanishing Tower Press, Vanishing Tower Blog, Vanishing Tower Podcast, all things Vanishing Tower. I do not know the answer, or I should say I didn't. But what I do know is that I had a long, well, a medium-length conversation with Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast after recording an episode for his show together, which should be coming out soon. I think he said the 7th. I think your genius, as far as my interests are concerned, is alleviating the problem of completely random character generation with Traveler and knowing the type of game you want to run, possibly a cyberpunky sort of slightly military / paramilitary engagements on habitat zones on a given planet, at least to start. You know there's going to be maybe more military action than there is in just your random Traveler game, which is normally on some sort of ship with completely randomly generated characters. And just by doing this, I think you have allowed player characters to be adept in the things that are likely going to be important in the game, as opposed to the opposite, whereas you just have these randomly disparaged or disparate characters and you're attempting to come up with reasons to put them together in things for them all to do to get in the spotlight. So there's my answer, brother. You knew what you wanted to run, and we made characters that relatively fit into that. Now, I don't remember how we made our characters, but it seemed like all of them had some gunplay, sort of paramilitary, ex-military, police action sort of information around them. And so, me, who really wants to do some pew-pew-pew in space, maybe more like with like some burp guns or something like that, that game really fit the bill because we were mowing down terrorists. You know, we were stopping civil strikes. We were stealing information. All that stuff was super cool and really engaging for me. Now, I know that I'm not the average or regular Traveler player, because I want to do this more military stuff or more combat-oriented than most of the Traveler games are going to be. So, I think that's what you did, man, even if it was accidental. And I'm not saying it was. You did good, son. Hello, Screeders. So, I got a new episode here for you, as you heard from Jay Murphy. I have a few call-ins, including Jay's, Rich, the Pink Phantom, asking about a few and discussing a few bits and pieces from the last episode, and I'm going to play them for you. I also want to talk about my recent experience running Low Fantasy Gaming, and I should let you all know I'm doing great.
In 2 miles, take the US 34 Ogden Avenue exit.
I appreciate all the people checking in. I am enjoying doing my own Dungeon 23 thing. as well as a lot of the different stuff that I want to publish this year through the Hobbs and Friends or Gamerhood imprint, and plan on likely sending some free PDFs out to patrons. So if you want to get in on that, all you got to do is head over to patreon.com/OSRNHobbs, and you can see what we got coming out, including some one-page monsters, spreads, some Kalmata adventures, some low fantasy gaming adventures, and who knows what all. Should be great, but I don't know. What I do know, today, January 7th, Saturday, 2023, I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey, Hobbs. So, the Traveler Adventure, it is the Traveler Adventure 1 High and Dry for people who are wondering or wanting to know. And I think for me, I just wanted to, one, have you guys follow potentially an adventure hook for one of the players to get their scout ship that they rolled up as a mustering benefit in character creation. And two, how a scenario goes without like combat action. And an adventure really had no combat and had a lot of, I would guess, procedures. I would probably have to leave more than one message, but I guess I'll talk about the ones that you participated in specifically and what I thought about them. This is part one. All right, this is part two. And just to let you know that you were part of this procedural where you climb a mountain. And I've been in mountain climb scenarios before, and they're definitely not as arduous. They're definitely more arduous than what was outlined here in this Traveler Adventure. So I didn't mind it so much. I think it was an interesting set of skill challenges, for lack of a better term. But the most interesting thing was that, you know, finding those kind of bleach bones. And I think the idea was to give you, as a group, more adventure hooks, establish that this group, maybe if not necessarily bad people, are very opportunistic, the ones that you're trying to track down. Unfortunately, you had to leave and you missed sort of the action and encounter part of the adventure, which I felt, or one of the players told me, even though there was no combat, that wasn't the point. The point was problem solving and intensity, and they liked it. All right, so after those three messages, it did seem to be more conducive to a group that had engineering mechanic type skills. And that might have been the purpose of the adventure. So like in your case, when after you left, you did get to use your gunnery skill to try to help slow a lava flow from a volcano that erupted. That was the big excitement in the game, spoiler, adventure and the spoiler. But it seemed more like mechanics again, like hostile skill challenges as opposed to combat. But I know that there will be, because I already planned out several of the adventures, there's some combat to come, which is more fitting for your character's skills, honestly. So hopefully you stay on board and it fits your schedule.
All right. So there's the promised messages from Carl Rodriguez of the GMologist Presents. I know that I had said that I wasn't going to put a bunch of messages in an episode, but it felt like I really wanted Carl to understand that it wasn't his GMing that is bad or anything like that. It's just that multiple pieces went in there. I was super tired. And I think, as detailed in the answer to Jay above, the game that I'm really looking for is more action-oriented. And I'm not all about cinema or cinematic action, because I still want hard sci-fi, but I do want that feeling, and I understand intensity, and I don't need combats in every session. I'm not sure where the future hooks came from, the bleached bones, because I tried, that's exactly what I was trying to do, is create more hooks. It just seemed like the only value we really got out of it is the concept that, yeah, there was some dudes around and like you mentioned, they were opportunistic and robbed the people. But I didn't really see anything like we couldn't take the bones somewhere and bring them back because there was no identifying traces that we could find. And I looked specifically for that purpose. And I think that might be a softness or something missing from the adventure that you could certainly have added if you had chosen to, or maybe I just missed. But if the players can't find it, then it might as well not even be there, which may sound funny because I don't necessarily do it that way in my games, but that's something that I've been considering. So, yeah, I really appreciate the call in, and I do intend to make every session that I can, because I never judge anything in one session. I always try to give it at least three sessions. But to reiterate, I really think for my own purposes, the game I'm going to run, I'm going to limit the character generation to fit in with the concept of what I want the characters to do and how I want the campaign to be. So really appreciate the call in, Carl, and I will see you on any given Monday, sir. Thank you.
Hey, Hobbs, this is Rich, or Jerry247 if you prefer. I was listening to your podcast, and I'd have to say I agree on your, like, how Traveler was being slow for you. We're playing Ultraviolet Grasslands right now, and I'm running it really by the book. So it started out as a caravan, and the players trying to get money. And the ultimate goal was to collect $1 million to get off the planet. And the players have really gotten into it. They're fucking, we're playing spreadsheets is what we're playing. And it's fun. It's not as interesting as my past games. We all have a good time. There's a couple of throwaway encounters every session, and there's not really anything going on in the background. So I think that, like, playing games like this where you've got not a character, but a town or a spaceship or a business to build without anything in the background is really going to focus on that. So that's my problem with running UVG right now is I don't have a lot going on in the background. So I started like some faction interplay, and I'm really pushing that right now. And I think that's going to help me feel better about it. Like I said, I don't think anyone's having a bad time. But, you know, it's very rote. It's very spreadsheets. And I don't think that's what I want my game to be. Also, on Dungeon 23, from what I understand, it's an exercise. It's not meant to be published. So do it sloppy, do it in a journal, and don't expect to publish it. But expect to use it. That's I think Sean McCoy said that the idea is to get some gameable material out of this, and that's it. All right, man. Good talking to you. Have a good one.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for calling in, buddy. And I have to say, I think that's kind of what that building of what I was kind of calling a domain in a lot of talks early in Random Screed when I was writing Steadfast, Relentless, and my various games that were supposed to have a domain aspect to them. And I still love that idea. I just don't want it to be spreadsheets all over the place. I think that's happened with Adventure Conqueror King system, even though it's probably one of the best domain play systems out there that I'm aware of. Not that I play it anymore. All of my books are still in storage. I don't use it, but I think to discuss, maybe not. I don't know. It's a whole different ballgame these days. Anyway, I really appreciate you letting me know that. And I think for me, being someone who really does play games for the stories that emerge, which I think is a small, very small Venn diagram for many, is the type of game that I like to play. And I don't like a lot of tiny little details to have to take care of. Yes, I'm into resource management, but only as the way that it adds tension to a particular game or pace or motivation, not as an exercise and keep a track and organizing, because I'm a terrible organizer anyway, and I'm no better at it when I'm playing a made-up character. But I think it's very important to have the underlying faction stuff that is only created through play. I've been listening to the Pink Phantom and his call-ins, and maybe this is, other people are talking about it too. I haven't kept up with all the podcasts, but this idea of what plot is versus a living world from Taylor at Clerics Wear Ringmail. I think this is what I've been talking about all along, and I'm not going to make anyone go back and listen to my entire catalog of episodes. Maybe I will just talk about them in an episode and explain my process with Kalmata, which definitely is the epitome of an old school open table hex crawl game that has emergent play, because it really seems to me like people have lost track, like, oh, you can't use the word plot because that's what happens in every game because the plot is the plot. That's accurate, but the definition of plot as far as role-playing games go, and specifically in OSR talk, is you have meta plots, which are large overarching plots that you predetermine, or they emerge as meta plots that exist, and that's okay. It's not okay to outline a plot like an author from start to finish and have players play through it. That's not okay. That removes player agency. It's really all about player agency, in my opinion, as far as old school games go. But, man, have I gone off topic. Thanks so much for calling in, Rich. Really appreciate it. I agree with the initial Dungeon 23 idea and what Sean McCoy was trying to do. Let's listen to the Pink Phantom, and then I'll respond.
Hey, Jason, the Pink Phantom here. Was listening to your latest episode talking about Dungeon 23, and I'm kind of curious where you got the idea that it's about having a publishable product. I know a lot of it is discussed in that manner sometimes, but if you, because you were thinking about the rules and can you use Dungeon 23 to promote things, if you look at what the original poster, Sean McCoy, and he has a Substack where he talks about, he has a couple of entries on Dungeon 23. So it's seanmccoy.substack.com. And the second entry is one where people have asked, he says people have asked him a lot of questions about the rules, and it's like, just, and his answer is, stop. It's a writing exercise. It's just about getting out there and generating content and producing something. That's it. That's all it's about. So that's what the guy that started this whole thing says. And, you know, I think he's a guy that produces content, so no doubt he may take what he creates this year and break it into a product or more, one or more products. But it's really just, just sort of a fun, creative exercise to exercise those creative muscles. And that's it. And there's not any overarching, authority over it saying you can do this, you can't do that. People have changed it drastically. Some people are doing Hex Crawl, some people, like you said, are doing Traveler 23. So, just create your dungeon if that's what you want to create. If you want to create a world a different way, just do that. That's what it's all about. Great hearing from you. Hope to hear more from you.
All right. As promised, the Pink Phantom from Phantom Thoughts. Hey, man. Yeah, I'm well aware of what Sean McCoy originally proposed. In fact, I didn't even consider it as anything else until Patches, OSR Patches, Thaddeus Moore, asked me when I told him what I was doing. He's like, yeah, but that doesn't fit into what he was saying. It's supposed to be 12 levels of 30 rooms, and when it comes time to publish, you can't use the Dungeon 23 logo on it when you publish it. And I was like, I don't even know I was publishing it. I thought I was just doing a writing exercise. But then I started to look a little more closely at what a lot of the other people were doing, especially, as you mentioned, people who produce things. I guarantee...
In 2 miles, take the US 20 exit toward Hampshire, Marengo.
Dungeon 23 is going to be a logo that people are trying to sell things under. It's already happening. I'm already seeing people say, hey, I put my 1 week up on Itch.io.
pay, go to coffee and get it, whatever. It's already happening. I'm not saying that's what it was intended for or that anybody else has to do it, but it's another way or another example of categorizing something and then it losing the value of its definition. Just like the word extreme was in the 90s or the 2000s or organic or natural, all natural. All those things are just ways of selling things now, just like OSR. Yes, they have other definitions and people use them, but as a product marketing tool, they quickly lose their
value. In half a mile, take the US 20 exit toward Hampshire, Marengo.
Because people are trying to jump on the boat of that ideology or that, I don't even know what the right word is. Arlen Walker, call in and tell me what word I'm supposed to be using to express or communicate what I'm trying to say.
Take the US 20 exit.
You're going to see it. You're going to see it on Zine Quest. Oh, this was created on Dungeon 23. And then the people
for half a mile
who are looking for a mega dungeon of 12 levels of 30 rooms are going to be disappointed when their Dungeon 23 shows something else entirely, which is where the whole this is OSR, that isn't OSR, I think originally started. It wasn't people trying to specifically gatekeep other people out of using OSR. It was people
in
saying,
quarter mile, turn right onto US 20 East, signs for Illinois 47.
I don't think you're properly categorizing Knave or Fear of a Black Dragon or whatever as OSR.
Turn right onto US 20 East, signs for Illinois 47.
Because it doesn't fit into the category as people thought the category was. Of course, that category has shifted and changed over time.
Turn left onto Dietrich Road.
As all definitions do. It's not just something special that happened to OSR or Extreme or Dungeon 23 in the near future. It's what happens to everything. Words
take the next left
and
the
their
Dietrich
definitions
Road.
Change over time. Go watch some movies from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, today, and you will see words being used to mean different things.
Continue on Dietrich Road for 1.5 miles.
It's interesting, but I really appreciate you calling in and letting me know. Same thing to Rich when he mentioned, I'm aware of what Sean McCoy was trying to do. I would say at one point Sean McCoy and I were sort of buddies, but he's way more beyond old Jason Hobbs, washed up podcaster. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van. Don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
Wow, guys, my apologies. This episode has gotten away from me. I kept on getting calls.
Take the next left onto Briar Hill Road, then turn right onto Copperwind Road.
They were on the same topics that I really wanted to, you know, discuss and continue discussion on. So I really, really appreciate y'all calling in. But that's all this episode has become, is a call-in episode, maybe. I really kind of wanted to talk a little bit about my previous running of the Low Fantasy Gaming, in which...
Take the next right onto Copperwind Road.
Oh, shit. I wonder if I missed Copperwind Road. Son of a biscuit. I certainly
did. Continue on Briar Hill Road for 3/4 of a mile.
So, see if you guys can pinpoint my location. It's a new game from Random Screed. Listening to the GPS and trying to figure out where I'm at and where I'm going. I'm working today. This is like 4 days later. When I first started the episode, I think it was January 4th. And then I did the intro yesterday on January 7th. And then now I'm planning on finishing it up, talking about the adventure that I wrote.
In a quarter mile, turn right onto Harmony Road, Harmony Huntley Road.
As a pickup game for Low Fantasy Gaming in place of Valley of the Mana Core, because the GM is sick. I got to play with Craig Brasco, Brian Tackle, and
Take the next ride onto Harmony Road, Harmony Huntley Road.
John Davis. It was weird running for Brian because, as I mentioned to him after the session, I get a little bit, I don't know,
continue on anxious. Harmony Road for 1.5 miles.
And I have anxiety about running games anyway, but running for Brian, who was like one of the first guys that I ever played with online, along with Brasco,
Briar Hill Road for 3/4 of a mile.
Way back in 2010 or 2011 or something, before Roll20 even existed. And I don't know, it's like playing with the people that you put on a pedestal or something. I always felt like he was a really interesting guy, the way he thought about mechanics and proposed things early on that I didn't really even understand or consider until later. And
turn left onto Copperwind Road.
I've used a lot of the thought process and advice and the idea of how to run BX with thieving skills and just in general, the tackle mandates, as I called them. So that was pretty cool. Getting by that has been difficult for me because I've pushed out multiple times.
Turn just left onto Copperwind Road.
Just because it was Brian, and that's so silly, really. I'm not saying he isn't all that, but he probably isn't. And in order to be distracted or nervous about it, as a GM, is silliness. But the session I really liked. It was inspired by my trip to Sanibel Island in September last year. You can catch it on my YouTube. And I really love low fantasy gaming. I really enjoy running it. I like seeing it in play. I like seeing what new players do with it. I like seeing what old players do with it. So I should also let you know that Steve Grodzicki has a pretty big sale, a mega sale on, I think, a lot of the low fantasy gaming stuff. You can get the Midlands, you can get Low Fantasy Gaming Deluxe, I don't know what all, at a pretty $15 or something on drive-thru. So hell of a deal. Hopefully the sale's still going on when you listen to this. If not, pony up a couple more dollars, you. I can't think of a word for being cheap grognard other than cheap grognard. I'm just kidding. If you can't afford it, you let me know and I'll buy it for you because you deserve to have Low Fantasy Deluxe.
In 1/4 mile, turn left onto Country View Boulevard.
All right, so I've already given you the secret location of where I'm headed today on Sunday, January 8th. Until next time. Thank you so much, and hopefully I'll have more content that is an old content.
Take the next left onto Country View Boulevard.
Next episode. Oh, PSS. Wednesday, 7:30-ish p.m. Central. Hobbs, Twitch TV, Hobbs 665, Twitch TV, or my YouTube channel.
Continue
interviewing
for 1 mile.
Don Stroud for Hobbs and Friends. You don't want to miss it. Stay alive, people. You got a job to do.